Welcome to the Illusion of More podcast. I'm David Newhoff. Back in 2007, I thought about starting a business called Willful Entertainment. The name Willful came from the idea that because high-quality streaming of video over the internet was about to be a reality, filmmakers and advertisers could join forces to come up with creative entertainment that would be good for brands. No permission would be necessary from networks or from censors. If a show was right for a certain target audience, it was right for the brand, and that was all we needed. We could be as willful as we liked. This is one of the reasons I laugh a little every time someone tries to school me in the concept sometimes referred to as permission culture. I didn't pursue Willful because I wasn't sitting on a trust fund I could burn through, I didn't know any VCs I could entice, and didn't have a handful of 20-something friends who could all afford to invest a lot of sweat equity while we figured this out. Because one thing that seemed very clear was that any attempt to get into this game would require a long-range plan. Over the last 5 years, many advertisers and producers have been experimenting with this concept and getting some mixed results. Technically, the emotional link between program and brand goes back to the earliest days of television, but it remains to be seen whether or not such relationships can be formed in the digital age. By coincidence, while exploring this concept for Willful Entertainment, I got in touch with some old friends of mine. Amy and Spencer French had just completed an independent comedy feature called El Superstar, The Unlikely Rise of Juan Frances. Today, Amy French is working as a writer-director in branded entertainment for a company based in Los Angeles, and she has just released her first series in this format for California advertiser Umami Burger. Amy is also the author of several short plays and one full-length play called Instant Life. She is an actress who has appeared in over 60 national TV spots, and she is a graduate of the AFI Directing Workshop for Women program in 2010, where she made a short called Hold for Laughs. I talked to Amy in Los Angeles via Skype about filmmaking and about branded entertainment. I'll begin with branded entertainment. You just finished and just released your first mini-series, if that's the right term, for Umami Burger.
Yeah, web series. Yeah, I guess it is a mini-series because it sort of ends at a certain point. It doesn't, like a TV series, have a thing where you can go on for seasons and seasons and seasons. So yeah,
right.
Web mini series.
and if memory serves, I read an interview with you just before you started this job, and you said something along the lines of, you know, you hope to find out what branded entertainment is. Have you found out?
I don't know. I don't think it's a thing. Like I don't think it's a thing yet. Like I don't think it's a thing that someone has decided what it is out there, like the big boss of branded content, and you have to then go and sort of play by those rules or follow that structure or whatever. I guess what I found out is that, you know, although it's an overused term out here in regards to, you know, internet entertainment and stuff like that, it really is the Wild West still. And, you know, the part of the reason I'm excited to be doing it is because I feel like there's, that if I get at the front of the wave, that I, you know, have an opportunity to be someone who helps to decide what it is.
I don't know if you remember this, but, a few years ago, in fact, I was actually talking to your brother, Spencer, with whom you made your first feature.
Yeah.
About this very notion that inevitably what the web sort of suggested to me anyway, and certainly to others, is really a return to the model that was TV in its earliest incarnations.
Like the Ed Sullivan Show, brought to you by Aquafresh toothpaste. Aquafresh, Aquafresh, yeah. And then like half hour of uninterrupted television.
That's exactly right. And I want to congratulate you for being the very first person on this blog site to sing.
Well, all right. Make sure you include that in the final download. I don't know. You might know more than I did. Like, would they involve like toothpaste in the sketches?
Well, in a way, yes. I mean, obviously, I'm sure you know that the word soap opera exists because, of course, it was, I believe it was Downey, was the sponsor that created a show. It was, you know, the first question was, how do we sell soap? And the second question was then, how do we get women to look at the TV?
Right.
And thus was born the episodic drama, melodrama. Known as the soap opera. And to some extent they did, in the sense that the actors would sort of come out, they'd break character and turn to the camera and say, I like camels, or right. I like this. and they were worked into the sketches either loosely or just kind of, as I said, just sort of broke off. But it does seem to me now that series like the Umami Burger one that you just did, and certainly there are plenty of others, are trying to replicate that kind of model where it's, can we take entertainment and make a connection between our brand and a certain, you know, our fans or our potential customers?
It's funny, when you're making branded content, it's like there's these two questions, because it is in a way advertising. Mm-hmm. So you have to think of who is our client, or I mean, not who's our client, but who's our demographic? Who are we trying to reach? Who goes to Umami Burger? And then there's this thing, staying on brand, right? Mm-hmm. Is that, it seems like the word brand and branding has really exploded in the past little while. And certainly the word content, content has become like, you know, everything's content now. It's like you don't even call a thing a TV show or a movie or a commercial or a music video anymore. You call it content.
Well, and I agree, and I think that there's certainly a downside to that. Not to go on about it too much, but I mean, certainly I think we are living in an era where content is sort of, I think, kind of getting ground up, if you will, by the tools themselves and the makers of the tools, meaning all the various devices on which we watch things, that does blur those lines, and wants to blur those lines. It's certainly to the advantage of the Googles and the iPhones and whatnot of the world to do that. I think. But tell me a little bit about the series itself. You wrote it and directed it.
I wrote it and directed it. I wrote it and directed it. In a dream world, I would love to write and direct television on TV. You know, mm-hmm. That's certainly, you know, a dream of mine. And I think that doing internet series and getting brands aligned to finance said series is perhaps a way that this is going to go, along the lines of what you said in regards to the 50s, where a brand is going to sponsor an entire series. Mm-hmm. And they're going to be shorter, at least to begin with. Mm-hmm. You know, each of these episodes is between 3.5 and 4 minutes. Just because people won't watch anything longer on the internet, unfortunately. Right. But or not much, unless they're watching Hulu, unless they're watching their network shows on the internet.
Right.
But,
right.
But yeah, I just thought it was a cool opportunity to, and also, you know, like I said at the beginning, it being the Wild West and then there being no rules, you know, I think it's interesting to see how far from product you can get with it still being a piece of branded content.
Right.
Like with the Umami Burger thing, no one ever eats a burger.
Mm-hmm. Right.
No one ever even picks one up.
Right.
They appear here and there, but it's more about the idea of what is umami.
Sure.
and how it's way more umami being the fifth flavor, you know, it's basically savory.
Right.
And how important it is to our mental well-being. That's the sort of comedic premise. And that there's this mad scientist who's decided that, you know, if you up people's umami, then they become less crazy.
Right. This mad scientist is named Dr. Kanye West. No relation.
No relation to the other Kanye West. Correct. Yeah.
Yeah, you'll forgive me if I've noticed that this is a joke of yours.
Yeah, where I name people other people's names?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know where that comes from. It's funny. Well, if the person themselves is so the antithesis of the that we know, for some reason that makes it sort of, I don't know. I do have a weird obsession with, in my characters, with like fame and people who are performers or want to be famous. Mm-hmm. In some way, right. Whether through performing or in the case of Dr. Kanye West, to change the human brain, you know,
right.
Maybe it's a symptom of having grown up in Los Angeles and the fame machine, but
And since you went there, I mean, you know, in the interest of full disclosure, Amy and I've known each other a very long time. Technically, I've known your entire life. What's that?
Since I was a baby.
Exactly. And you're
a young boy.
And we both grew up around the very traditional film business, to say the least.
So I have a funny story about that in regard to the umami burger thing.
Okay.
You know, having grown up in the traditional film business where, you know, my dad was in traditional film, you know, agent of movie stars and then at Paramount and development and, you know, in the 70s when it was, you know, pure movie making times. And my mom being around that, having been married to him all these years. So when they watched the Umami Burger web series, my mom was so confused. She was like, I don't understand how this is a commercial. You should eat it. Like someone needs to eat a hamburger. Uh-huh. I don't like it's funny and it's interesting and the acting is good, Amy, but it's not a commercial. And I'm like, okay, mom, I totally get it. It's a new thing and you'll see it, you know, it works. Right. And then she called me the next morning and she said, I was wrong. I dreamt about biting into an umami burger. Because of the way that one sits there at the end and no one even looks at it. And all you want to do is just bite it. And so I dreamt about biting it. It's funny. Anyway. But being like, there being sort of a disconnect between, you know, what things were and what they're becoming.
Right. Going back to the comparison to, say, the 1950s model, you know, comparatively, back then you had about five shows, right. And two channels and or three, and you know, it wasn't that hard to capture an audience. Today, Umami Burger in this case is competing with 9 gajillion viral series or series hoping to go viral. Is there anything you can give me vis-a-vis? In a more broad sense, kind of a broad analytical sense, not speaking to that campaign per se, in terms of what you may have observed or learned about what are the challenges that you can imagine anybody trying to do this are facing, if you understand.
I mean, I think you mentioned the main one, which is that there are, you know, the greatest challenge being that that the internet is the most enormous place in the world. And there are so many people on it. And our attention spans and our patience have grown so thin as a human, you know, we just, when you're on your phone or you're on this small screen of your computer, or your iPad or what have you, it's just so easy to click away. Yep. It's easier in a way than it is to change the channel. Mm. Almost easier, I think. A lot of times because you have multiple browser windows open, right? So you've got your Safari open or your Firefox or what have you, and you've got five windows open already. So if you click on a little show or a sketch or a Funny or Die video, and it's not grabbing your attention, you can literally still leave the sound playing and go check Facebook, you know, or see if, or refresh your Google News window. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's just created this way where it's almost easier to change a channel. So the biggest challenge is being, is sort of keeping the butts in the seat of your internet audience and making sure they watch all the way until the end. And some of the tools to do that, I think, are probably the same that they've always been, which is like face recognition. Get someone in there who people already know who they are.
Mm-hmm.
Why the Julia Roberts of the world make so much money is because people will just go see movies because Julia Roberts is in it.
That's right.
And it's probably the same for internet content, you know?
I don't know how much you pay attention to sort of the larger discussion about whether or not digital media, you know, digital technology is changing the industry. And of course it is. And very often we hear from those who actually don't have anything to do with production that, you know, digital cinema, both on the capture side and of course post-production and then distribution, mm-hmm. you know, is extremely democratizing. It means everybody can play. We can forget about, you no longer need permission. It's all DIY now. Forget about the studios, their old hat, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And of course anybody who's actually involved in production knows that it's really, really not that simple.
It really isn't. Yeah. I mean, it isn't. And it still does cost some money. I mean, it just does. I mean, a little bit, a lot less than it used to.
Mm-hmm.
But it costs money and it takes a lot of people.
Right.
That's the other thing. And people who are either willing to give of a lot of their time for free mm-hmm. or for very little money. I mean, if we're talking about the sort of low budget, you know, democratic model of filmmaking,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's not as easy as taking your cell phone out and shooting something and putting it in iMovie HD and, you know, making a few cuts and putting it out there. It just isn't. I wish it was that easy. But it takes so many people, which is my favorite thing about it, honestly, is the amount of talent that gets filtered through a single piece of, for lack of a better word, content.
Mm-hmm.
And all the hands that touch it and all the different things that come through because of that.
What I have said to many people is, look, you can do the Andy Rooney, hey kids, let's put on a show version of filmmaking.
Yeah.
When you're 22 and all your friends are 22, but you can really only do it once. And then after that, you got to make it a business or nobody can afford to do it again.
It's true.
And I
come up against that all the time. It's so frustrating. It's like, I can't ask anyone for any more favors.
Ah, good point.
You know, I'm too old and people have seen too much of my shit already for me to go to them and be like, hey, could you help me out on this? You know,
right.
I was lucky in that, you know, El Superstar, I got to ask a lot of favors, although we did that, you know, we cut a ton of corners and we shot 35 scenes in 35 locations in 17 days and,
right.
you know, all that stuff. But, you know, we were paying people what
sure.
we could. And then my next thing was my AFI short film with the directing workshop for women.
Correct.
And that whole program is set up as like a favor-based thing.
Right.
Meaning right. that they're a nonprofit and you have to get, people have to be working for free.
Right. Right. And
but
that's
do it for the prestige to be involved with the prestige of the program and blah, blah, blah. And then it came to the Umami Burger thing and, you know, and we were making it, you know, it was certainly an experiment
mm-hmm.
and our budget reflected that.
Right. Right.
So, you know, they weren't going to throw a ton of money at something that we didn't know what it was really going to be other than the script.
Sure.
You know?
Sure.
So, and that's the other thing about branded content. It is still an experiment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We don't know if it works.
Right. Right. Well, and because it's experimental, and this is something I know I have seen in 20 years, is that, you know, when they're, how do I put this? You know, once sort of, the paradigm shifts so that rates come down and a lot of favors get done. And, you know, you hear publicized, oh, so-and-so made a movie for, you know, $20,000 and it earned $100 million or whatever. Well, you know, right. One of those rare stories.
Blair Witch.
Yeah,
Blair
sure. Witch. When that was the
game changer.
Sure. Well, and you know, those come along, and then you hear all sorts of other, even in the indie world, you know, different kinds of these stories. But what ends up happening then is that trickles out into the professional world, whether you're making commercials or corporate videos or any number of other, you know, projects that are work for hire. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you've experienced this. Everybody turns and says, well, can't we get a crew for $50?
Yeah.
Because that sort of becomes the norm.
Right. Or in the case of the Umami Burger thing, and now I'm pitching, you know, or being pitched by the production company I'm working with, you know, for other branded stuff. They're like, well, can't we get something like that for that money? And I want to be, and we're kind of like, no, we can only do that once.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? Like that was the calling card.
Uh-huh.
It's sort of like what El Superstar, my feature film, El Superstar was, you know, like, it, you know, when you do something at first, your first thing, mm-hmm. it's your calling card. And it sort of shows like, look, I'm capable
mm-hmm.
of a lot. But what I need now is to be a professional person. Like, I need to actually get paid to do this.
Right, right. And of course, one of the challenges with, you know, I think anyway, you know, one of the, I don't want to say downsides necessarily. It's hard to predict, but certainly it's a possibility that when you have a market like we were talking about before, when you have the internet and you have a zillion people doing a zillion things, that marketers and advertisers and other people with money do have the potential to sort of churn through a lot of suppliers, each of whom is doing something for the first time, if you follow what I'm saying, you know? So, you know.
And also because everyone is doing it now. The other thing that you mentioned, meaning that like everyone's got a camera and everyone's got Final Cut Pro.
Right. Right. So the moment Amy French becomes, you know, she wants money for her second one, we can move on to, you know, Bob and his camera.
Right.
And I, you know, which is not to put your talents down by any means. It's just, I think that perception really is pervasive. And it's sort of the other edge of the sword of the whole DIY digital is better culture.
Yeah. And it's also, there's another element to that as well, in that traditionally the people who are like on the cutting edge of technology and stuff and viral things and what is quote unquote cool
mm-hmm.
are the young people.
Mm-hmm.
So, and because the whole idea of internet branded content is actually what the brands are trying to do is be cool
mm-hmm.
in a way, because the internet is the cool place to hang out. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
So it's easy to confuse youth. Not that I'm some old lady, but you know, mm-hmm. but like the fresh out of college, you know,
right.
with being a good idea. And sometimes that's the case, and talent comes in. I'm just saying that, like, talent and understanding what's cool comes in all different shapes, sizes, ages, genders, and colors.
Of course, of course.
But sometimes it's like, oh, well, you know, they've been in advertising for years. They don't get the internet.
Right, right. There is a side, I certainly agree, that there is a side to all this where experience is actually a negative.
Yeah, weirdly somehow around the internet it is. Yeah, because the internet is where the cool young people hang out.
So what's next? Well, either in the world of branded entertainment or filmmaking wise for you.
Well, of course, doing this gave me a hankering to put another feature film together.
I assumed that would be the case.
Yeah. So I'm sort of feeling I'd like to do something that I didn't write for once.
Uh-huh.
I think that would be A, an interesting challenge. B, like I said, I love collaborating with other talent, and there are writers out there that are, you know, far superior to me or have amazing other perspectives about the world that I'd love to dig into. So I'm thinking about trying to either find a book that I and someone to adapt it, or maybe a script that someone has that already exists, and maybe and see if I can put another feature together. I'd love to do that. Also, the other reason to direct something that I haven't written is because if I am sort of moving towards a goal of directing television.
Right.
I think I was a finalist for the ABC diversity directing program last year. And I wonder, because it came up in a few of my interviews about the fact that I've written everything that I've ever directed, I wonder if they were worried that I don't know how to direct things that I haven't written, or if I can't step out of that role.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it might be an interesting, it just would be a good thing to add to my list of things I can do, being directing other people's words.
Right. Amy, I want to thank you for taking the time to talk to me today. Listeners can watch Amy's Umami Burger series on YouTube via the link on the main page for this podcast. And they can also learn more about Amy's other work at ameliafrench.net. Thank you for listening.